Hi, my name's Dave Nichols, and a few months ago I published a book called The End of Physiotherapy through Routledge in the UK, and a few weeks ago I did a presentation to some staff colleagues about the book, explained a little bit about where it had come from and what the book was attempting to do, and I was asked at the time if it might be possible to put an audio podcast together to summarise the talk, and so that's this podcast. So, The End of Physiotherapy, the first full critical history of the physiotherapy profession, basically looks at where physiotherapy has come from, where it is, and where it might be going to in the future. It's about 130,000 words in length. It took about 2 years to write and started in early 2015, but was really prefaced by the work I'd done on my PhD, which was concluded in 2008. And that was called Body Politics, a Foucauldian Discourse Analysis of Physiotherapy Practice. And basically what that was about is looking at the conditions that made present physiotherapy possible, the reasons why we're experiencing the tensions and the pressures that we're experiencing now, and to try and anticipate what the future for physiotherapy might be based on what we know from its past. Who's the book for? Well, the book is really written for undergrad and postgrad students. So it's written in language which is distinctly unphilosophical, or at least I hope it is. And primarily I wanted physiotherapists to know something about their profession's history, because I never had that as a student of physiotherapy. I had a very traditional physiotherapy training, and I think the history of the profession is still not something that's widely understood or celebrated, or used as a tool of analysis to think about where the profession has come from, where it is and where it might be going. So you won't find many books that talk about critically analysing the history of the profession, unlike in areas like medicine, nursing, midwifery, psychology, occupational therapy. There are many, many books that look at the history of those professions and help them, practitioners, but also historians and others, to think about how those professions might change in the future. So undergrad and postgrad students would be the first audience, I think, and I would love to think that in the future people will be able to refer to that book as a way of understanding something about what physiotherapy is. The second audience, I think, is probably physio practitioners, people who are in clinics and in hospitals and private practices, who are interested in what physiotherapy is, where it comes from, what its basis might be, and also maybe those practitioners who are frustrated with where the profession is going in their eyes. The book is certainly not a beat-up of physiotherapy. It's not meant to be critical in the sense of being negative. It's a very positive critique of the profession. But I come across physiotherapists all the time who are frustrated maybe with the limits and restrictions that they feel imposed on their practice, and are looking to expand their scope or looking to practice in different ways or spread their wings a little bit. And so I hope that the book maybe helps them understand something of why they feel those restrictions and where those restrictions come from, how those restrictions are problematic but also very important and very necessary, and how it might be possible to think otherwise. And then the third audience would probably be for teachers and researchers. As an academic, as a lecturer myself, one of the things I'm often doing is talking to physiotherapists about the reasons why their profession is the way it is. Often physios have a very good sense, a gut sense, that they know what physiotherapy is. But I think actually reading critically about it, they might be surprised to understand a little bit more about what physiotherapy is, and maybe even change their perceptions. And of course, as a resource for teachers and researchers to think critically about physiotherapy, it might be very important for undergrad and postgrad students to be prepared for that kind of those kind of ways of thinking, because they're entering into a world now which is very different to the one that we many of us trained in, and we have to prepare students for a world which is much more uncertain, much less clear, much more contested, much more problematic maybe than people in past generations have had to face. So there are three groups of people I think that the book is written for: undergrad and postgrad students, physio practitioners, teachers and researchers. There's a fourth group, I suppose, as well, which are those people who work in policy or regulation with professional bodies and such, who might get a sense of some of the reasons why their work takes the shape it does and why it's necessary and how that might, in effect, constrain or enable certain ways of thinking about physiotherapy, and of course then how that might change in the future. So what's the book about? Well, as I've said already, primarily it's a critical history of physiotherapy. It looks at a lot of the fundamental ideas that underpin physiotherapy that aren't really discussed elsewhere, and tries to theorise those and explain them and relate them to practice. The title of the book has caused some people some consternation, the idea that the end of physiotherapy, so I should probably explain that. The end of physiotherapy is meant in two ways. The first way is to talk about the purpose of physiotherapy. What's its purpose? What's its end? What's as in means to an end? So what's the purpose of physiotherapy? What does it do? What doesn't it do? Why does it do these things and not others? So that's the first point. The second part of it is actually to argue that this might be the end of physiotherapy as a profession. One of the most important critiques that the book makes is the development of an idea that I've called the physiotherapy paradox. And in simple terms, what I'm arguing there is that physiotherapy has benefited a great deal from having a very particular view about the body and movement and function that goes back to its very origins and the necessity to actually regulate a very particular way of viewing the body so that we could legitimise our practice, we could legitimately touch people without the kind of fear of scandal or licentiousness that was associated with massage practice. The problem is that that view of the body has persisted for most of the profession's history. And it's meant that physiotherapists don't really engage with the other ways of thinking about health and illness, the cultural, the political, the social, the economic, the philosophical, the geographical. All of the reasons that people experience health the way they do, of all of those things, physiotherapy is very particular to take a very biomechanical view. And part of the reason why it does that is because historically it's been very powerful for us. Throughout much of physio's history, dealing with the massage scandals or after World War I and the rehabilitation movement, the development of the welfare state, dealing with epidemics and the changing public health pressures during the 20th century, the fact that we've taken a very biomechanical view of the body has seen the profession grow. It's been very important. My argument in the book is that that's been fine up until probably the 1970s, and I make a point of a particular point in time in the mid-1970s where I think the pendulum swung the other way. Swung the other way. And primarily that was an economic issue, and it underpins a lot of the healthcare reforms that are taking place now in the developed world. The move towards managerialism and rationalising health resources, ageing populations, the concerns about the unaffordability of social welfare. Now, while it's difficult to see how those things are related to physiotherapy, the argument that I try to make is that people in the 21st century now expect something different from their health professional than was expected in the 20th century. And physiotherapy would be very well placed to respond to that change, if only it didn't take a very particular view of the body. If it were more holistic or more embodied or more thoughtful about the different ways in which people experience health, it would be better equipped to respond. But the fact that it's held to this idea of the body as a machine means that it's actually preventing us from relating to what's needed for the future of healthcare. And because we are so focused on the body as machine, we don't lift our eyes up from the patient that's in front of us, it's very difficult for us to engage in some of those conversations and to think about how physiotherapy might be different. Because to think differently would rely on us rejecting to some extent much of what we've held to as being important about physiotherapy in the past. So the book talks about the fact that, paradoxically, the very thing that might have supported physiotherapy and seen it grow for the better part of a century may now be actually getting in the way of us developing and adapting to the future of healthcare. So we may well, if we can't move away from our notion of what physiotherapy is, we may well be seeing the end of physiotherapy as we become more expensive to fund. We see horizontal and vertical encroachment from other professions. We see that our scope of practice is increasingly narrow in relation to what people want. We may well be seeing a decline in the profession based on this idea of a physiotherapy paradox. So that's really the challenging aspect of the book, to read through it in the sense to understand how that history is informing our present practice and the tensions around what we do. And I spend about 130,000 words trying to explain that. So it is a long argument to make, and it needs a lot of evidence and a lot of data, and hopefully I've tried to provide that. So the books are basically in three parts. The first section is a series of chapters that deal with particular points in physiotherapy's history. So the first chapter looks at the period before 1894, and I take the beginning of physiotherapy to be the point at which people organised a physiotherapy discipline, a physiotherapy profession. Not that people were necessarily practising massage or gymnastics or other things, because those things have been practised for millennia. Physiotherapy, the starting point for me, is the point at which people decided to organise a professional discipline and come together to form a society. So 1894 is the starting point for me for physiotherapy. And the first chapter looks at the period before then. The second chapter looks at the period around what I've called the massage scandals, and the period between 1894 and then the start of World War I. The next chapter looks at the period of the interwar years and then leading up to 1974, so the long period of the bigger part of the 20th century, the golden era of physiotherapy, if you will, from 1914 through to 1974. And then the last of the history chapters looks at physiotherapy since 1974 and puts it in the context of sort of neoliberal economic reforms and what that's done. So that is the major history section. The middle part of the book, the second part, is really about the critical ideas, the key concepts, the key discourses in physiotherapy. And I deal with five of those in three main chapters. The first one deals with the body. The second one deals with posture and movement, and then the third one deals with function and rehabilitation and explores why those things are important in physiotherapy and in what ways physiotherapy relates to them, because obviously physio doesn't have a universal view of the body, it has a very particular view. So the chapter explores what that view is and what that enables and what it constrains, what it makes possible, what it denies. And then the third section is a short section which just looks briefly at the implications of this for education, practice, regulation and research, and then discusses the kind of so what, the returns to that question about is this really the end of physiotherapy? And the book has a very short section behind that which deals with the methodology. As a good qualitative researcher, it's very important that we sort of articulate how the analysis was done and how this book was pulled together. So this methodology section, for those who are interested, talks about the philosophy and the theory behind the analysis in the book. So in the book itself, there are lots of stories, lots of anecdotes, lots of historical and archival research, some of which has never been seen before, never been heard before. It draws on material that is new and emerging. And to give you an example, for instance, in the section on World War I, I talk about some recent work that's emerged around how physiotherapists caused pain to the First World War soldiers as a necessity. They had to show that the massage treatment, which was given by these often young women for young male soldiers, it was the first time that these women in the profession made much contact with young men. And there was a real concern about the sort of sexuality of what was happening. The authorities didn't want the massage treatment to be nice. because they didn't want the men to think that this was going to be. They needed them to go back to the Western Front, and so they needed the treatment to be almost as bad, maybe worse, than being at the front itself. And there's historical work now emerging which shows what these young women masseurs did to these men, and it is very brutal. And what it shows, of course, is that these women who were trying to form a new profession, a female-dominated profession, were prepared to do things to prove that they were able to do it, which might have been ethically difficult or challenging, but they felt were necessary for the growth of the profession. And that has obviously resonance for a lot of the ways that we think about pain and the necessity of causing people pain as part of a therapeutic assessment or treatment. So there's material of that sort. There's lots of other stories and accounts that are drawn from lots of archival research. And the book is an attempt to try and bring those together to try and explore some of these important themes. There are two versions of the book available. There's an incredibly expensive hardback version. And there's also an ebook version, which is very accessible. And yes, I hope very much that you enjoy the book. I hope that you're stimulated and challenged by it, and also see it as an opportunity to have a conversation with your colleagues and your peers about where physiotherapy has come from, where it is and where it's going. So thanks very much for listening, and get in touch with me at AUT University, Auckland, New Zealand, or through the Critical Physio Network if you want to have a more of a conversation about it.